You're listening to Truth To You Radio with Jono on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letteru.org. And this is usually Torah Pills on the Prophets, but we have a special program and an update to give to you, the dear listener. I'm here with Keith Johnson to bring us up to date. My friend, what is the latest?
Well, Jono, first of all, I want to tell you it's good to talk to you. I always love being able, during difficult times, to have friends that you can talk to, and certainly right now we're in that situation. For those that don't know, our friend Nehemiah Gordon made a really very powerful, important message yesterday to his Facebook listeners, and I love the way that Nehemiah uses Facebook. It's really his way of communicating, so I want to right away jump into what Nehemiah said in his words. This was yesterday on Nehemiah's Facebook. He says, "After a year in which I lost my father, my dog died, and my wedding was called off, I've decided to take a sabbatical from my public ministry. Please join me in praying for healing, renewal, and discernment. Keith Johnson will continue our speaking tour, and I look forward to rejoining him in the future." Nehemiah actually posted that yesterday as he was on his way from Pennsylvania. Actually, he was in my car. He's on his way to our house, my house in Charlotte, for a little bit, and then he's going to be moving on from there to some places and situations where he's going to get a chance to take some time. But we had to end our tour yesterday a bit abruptly, I think. But the good news is, Jono, and for those that are listening, is Nehemiah has finally gotten to a place where he's going to take some time for himself, and I'm 100% behind that. And so This has just happened. I know you haven't talked to him since then, and we were actually preparing to talk about Torah Pearls of the Prophets, but of course something much more important has come up, and so that's what we're talking about right now.
Mm. In the release that he put on Facebook, he mentions, you know, the loss of his father, Rabbi Gordon, Georgia, his dog of so many years that also passed, and the engagement that ended. There are other things as well, and I have to say, Keith, I have been amazed. Frankly, I've been amazed the way that Nehemiah is able to continue on, like the machine that he is, doing what he does despite all of the challenges that he has in his life once he's decided to do something and he does it. But in the last few months, I have to admit, Keith, I've been looking at him going, "My friend, you deserve a holiday. If I were you, I would be taking a holiday. You really deserve a holiday. You need to take some time and chill."
Yeah. Well, let me say this. Let's start with Nehemiah, with what he said. What I love about what he said is he brought down, and for people who know Nehemiah, people who follow Nehemiah, people who've listened to Nehemiah over the last few years, they know the significance of these things. You know, his father dying last year, that happened while we were on tour together. Mm. And he and we talked about this publicly. I said, "Nehemiah, you know, you really got to go and be by your father's side." And he said, "No, my father would want me to continue to do God's will." And in that situation, that's what he felt strongly about. That we were together when we got the phone call in Colorado that his father had passed, and he got a chance to speak to his father right before he passed. But then the next day, you know, he continued to go with me and share. And eventually he did I guess he was off a few days early to get back to Israel for some time with his family. But that was confusing for me because I just thought, Nehemiah, how are you able to do that? And then, of course, Georgia, anyone who knows Nehemiah knows Georgia. Mm. And you know, when she died, that was just not long after his father. And he says this, I mean, Georgia was literally, you know, so talk about a man's best friend. Georgia was his best friend. Well, then the situation happened where he had fallen in love, wonderful person, Jocelyn, that she is. They were planning on getting married. Some things came up that they determined that the wedding needed to be postponed, and then ultimately that wedding was called off. And that was, if I can say this, Jono, based on his own statement, I call that sort of the straw for him that it just got him to a place where he realized, you know, I really need to be healthy. And you're right. There's some other things going on, which I'd like to weigh in on in a minute. But first, I want to say that being on the road with him, one of the things that I saw is exactly the very thing you said. This guy is able to stand in the midst of difficulty, able to work through just a number of different things. The way that he has been able to continue to minister has been amazing. It really has.
It is amazing, Keith, because I may just say, because the day that Georgia died, he was on the radio with us. The day that she died, and he insisted, he said, "I want to get on, and I want to talk, I want to do a program on Torah Pills. I need to do this." And as soon as the mic went on, he's a machine. I mean, yeah. I really do admire his strength and his ability mm-hmm. to keep going. And during the struggles that he's had and challenges that he's had in recent months, every single time we get on the radio and he's been determined. I mean, he's so determined. Once he decides he wants to do something, he's motivated to do it. He makes sure that it happens.
Well, can I say this? Can I say one of the things that's so cool about, and I want to use the word cool lightly, as I'm watching him, how difficult it was for him. We actually had an event scheduled for last night, a pretty big event that was going to take place out in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he had actually set the event, worked on it, got it all set up. People were coming. And really, it was really, when I say difficult, it was difficult for him to get in my car and to drive the opposite way. But I felt that was as courageous, more courageous than him saying, okay, I'm going to stand up there and speak again, and I'm going to continue on tour with Keith. He's taking care of himself, and I believe ultimately, Jonah, that to me is a statement of his commitment to his relationship with Yehovah, mm-hmm. that he knows that that's most important than what he does with people. So mm-hmm. I have to give him a lot of credit for.
Oh, he's an amazing person. I really do believe he has the ability to soldier through anything. I mean, I've watched him, I've seen it, but. Haven't we all been looking at him going, my friend, you deserve a holiday. You need a holiday. You need to take a break. You need to take a step back. And we all were so relieved when he decided to do that. And I really hope that he has a refreshing time, a time of healing, and that Yehovah blesses him. And I have no doubt that he will. But if I may, Keith, it's not just those things that he mentioned. I don't know how much detail we can go into, but there's in addition to the things that Nehemiah mentioned,
look, if we're on the radio, you want to get to the real deal here. Do I have permission?
Well, there's been some sinister and malicious attacks.
Oh,
on
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, there have been. Jonah, you know, I love doing radio interviews with you because you're so smooth. You know, brother, they're really awesome, amazing, difficult things. And look, you know, like me, we could both start cussing right now, and so I'll be the one to do it, and then you fix it. You be the sandpaper on this. You know, he, for his years of ministering in both Messianic, Christian, and Jewish context, he's always been under attack from somebody. That's always been Nehemiah's mm-hmm. deal. Somebody's unhappy with him, and I've walked with him through that. But I have to say in the last couple months, there have been a couple things that have happened that have just been absolutely, positively, utterly ridiculous. Mm. And I want to do something. This is not Nehemiah speaking. This is Keith. But the situations right now remind me of what Paul talked about, Demas and Alexander, the metal worker and the silver worker, where they just say, you know what, we're going to at all costs try to stop this guy's ministry. And that's really what has been going on. And I think what's most difficult about both of those situations, there have been lies and deceit, literal lies and deceit used against Nehemiah to try to somehow build some sort of momentum. And I've been with him, Jono, where he's looked at me and said, you know, I've had a lot of nonsense happen, but this stuff here, I've never had, where it's just a bold-faced lie. Mm. I mean, so that's what we're dealing with right now with a couple people. And I will tell you, in Pennsylvania, one of them actually is sort of like the story in Acts where they follow you around and send emails ahead of time and talk about, you know, Nehemiah. And he, you know, he's, like I say, he's a soldier, he's a trooper. But for me personally, I've kind of had it with these folks that are just liars. They're just, I don't even know what to call them.
Blatant malicious liars.
Malicious attacks,
is what they
are. Absolutely.
And look, Keith, I mean, ordinarily, you're right, he's been putting, he puts up with the most remarkable and irritating attacks, and it's like water off a duck's back for Nehemiah. He doesn't let it get to him. But at the moment, when he has so many challenges in front of him, he's really, they're kicking him while he's down, but they're doing so with the steel cap boots. They're doing so, as I said, maliciously. They're doing so fraudulently. They are lying in order to kick him. They're making things up, and they're perpetuating lies. It's remarkably despicable.
And, Jono, I will tell you something. One of the reasons I'm not going to name the people or name the situation, because I don't want to give them any extra publicity, because I think in one of the situations, there's no question, the only reason it was done is because they're using Nehemiah to hopefully get people to look at this, you know, whatever it is
craziness they're producing.
They're trying to do. Yeah. So I told him I would hope that he doesn't give too much focus on it. Mm. Can we do this just for a minute? I do want to say that as a person that comes from the tradition that I come with, I'm very, very, very disappointed in those who claim that they love the Jewish people and they love Israel and they fly under the flag of loving the Jewish people, except for if that Jewish person happens to be Nehemiah Gordon, who's teaching the language, history, and context of a Bible that they don't even know about themselves. And I will say that openly. One of the things that's been very disappointing to me is some of the most hateful people that attack him are some of the most ignorant people in the movement. They don't know much about their own Bible. They don't know much about what they're even supposed to be talking about. And when he comes and shares language, history, and context about something that they, quote-unquote, are supposed to know, it causes such a response that it just further shows that they have an agenda that, to me, is quite clear. I think what bothers me is those people who don't understand that fall prey to their nonsense. So I just would like to say that.
Keith, can I ask you, can I just be blunt about this? Is it about, I mean, such people, is their agenda, and I think we have touched this on this before in the programs briefly, but is it fair to say that the agenda is to restrict the information that the audience has to evaluate?
I want to tell a story, Jono. This is fresh off the press, and I want to tell this story because I 100% believe that Nehemiah and I, on a Sunday morning in a Mennonite church in Pennsylvania, saw a picture of why it is that Nehemiah's ministry is so important and why it is the challenge is so great. And so you haven't heard this. No one's heard this. Nehemiah actually was in the church with me when this happened. And so what I'd first like to do before I do this, since we get a full hour to talk, I want to make sure that we give honor, first of all, to Nehemiah, that everyone realize that both of us are 100% support of him taking some time. We've given our resource, our time, our effort to make sure that he gets to a place where he can finally rest and not have the pressure of the next thing he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that that's what both of us have?
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
We believe that. And so, folks, if you're listening, we do ask that you would be in prayer for Nehemiah, that he would get the very thing that he asked for. He says, please join me in praying for healing, renewal, and discernment. And I think those words are really powerful, the ones that he selected, because we all need healing, but in this situation, he's had some pretty difficult injuries. He feels like he needs renewal, which I think is, believe it or not, if I can segue a little bit, is part of what we would have been talking about this week in the Torah portion of the prophets, and then also discernment, that he would know exactly when, where, why, and how to do what he needs to do. So, let's just first say, you know, we are proud of him. We love him. We want him to take care of him, and we'll be fine. But we want to make sure that he's in a good place so that he can have those prayers answered. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. But the other thing is, I think it's really interesting, Jonah, if we could just take 1 minute. I want to be sure to tell this story of what happened Sunday, the last day that I got to minister with Nehemiah. Make sure we have time to do that. But then I also want to, if we can, just for a minute, to open up Isaiah chapter 40, if we can. And for those that may be listening for the first time, we do Torah Pearls, which is a portion on the Torah that we did a full year last year, had a blast doing it, Nehemiah, Jono, and myself. Every portion of the Torah that's read in synagogues around the world, we have those recorded on Truth to You, Truth, number 2, letter U.org. Mm-hmm. And those are available for download.
They're archived, all of them are there and available for free download, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So guess what? Those things
and are available. iTunes. You can find Truth to You on iTunes as well. But if you want to specifically work through the Torah portion, you can go to truthtoyou.org, click on Torah Pearls, and it will give you all, 54 odd programs that we did.
Yes, and so we did those, and what's awesome is those things will last. I mean, they're there, so every single week people can do that. And then what we tried to do is we tried to do the portion on the prophets, the Haftarah, which is also read in the synagogues as the prophets parallel to the Torah portion. And so I think we were two in. Am I right? Did we do two?
We were two. We did two.
Okay, awesome. So this week would be the third one. Now, officially, in honor of our friend Nehemiah, who's taking a break, you and I have determined that we're not going to even try to do the Haftarah section in honor of our situation? And maybe you can explain it better, but we've had a conversation. And
if I may, Keith, in my mind, it's like this. You and I could certainly do it. We could certainly go through Torah Pearls on the Prophets. We could do the Haftarah, but it's not the same. And frankly, Nehemiah is a major part of the program.
Right.
And Torah Pearls is the three of us. And for us to go ahead and do it without him is it just doesn't seem right. And we're really very happy to – I mean, look, it goes around every year, and it's not as if we're not going to return to it. We may do so, and I think we would all like to. But right now, you know, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We can return to this, but we decided it's best just to put it on hold for the moment.
Yeah, and actually, folks, what we really decided, and I know Nehemiah's going to be listening to this if he gets around to it, is that you know, the option, one option was we do the Torah Pearls, Jono and I. The other option is we go try to find someone to come on, which never was ever a thought. We never would have thought of that. Though I'm sure there's some people who would love to come and do it. We weren't ever interested in that. We weren't interested in doing it together. We weren't interested in finding anyone else. And the other option is sort of to put this carrot over Nehemiah's thing and say, well, Nehemiah, will you be ready next week? Will you be the week after that or the week after that? And just today, folks, just in the last few minutes, Jono and I decided that we don't even want to put that pressure on Nehemiah. We don't want to say to him, hurry back so we can start this again. Am I representing this correct?
Yeah, for sure.
So instead, what we want to do is we actually want to re-promote the Torah Pearls, that people go through the Torah Pearls again. It's already been recorded. You get to hear Jono interrupt Keith. You get to hear Jono read the scripture, and you get to hear me every once in a while. But you know what? It was golden. It was amazing. It was powerful. People loved it. So we want to have that played every week, promote it every week, and not even talk about, you know, when's, you know, the prophet's going to start again. And hopefully people will give us grace on that, that it won't even be a situation that Nehemiah has to say, well, 2 weeks from now I'll get back. And so I would like to officially say, Jono, and I haven't said this to you, for all those that are listening, my number one thing is that Nehemiah have time without restriction. Mm-hmm. And so even if he calls me and says, oh, we've got to get started, we're going to lose the audience, I'm not interested in it. I'm interested
in... Did you hear that, Nehemiah? He'll be listening to this. It's not going to happen, my friend.
Tell him we want to see
some serious months, because you deserve serious months to take off and chill and heal and rest and relax. And
yes.
It's okay.
Awesome. So we've agreed that we're not going to be doing it this year. Jono and I have made executive decision. We're not going to do it. And some people say, but geez, you're kidding me. You got all these people listening. You know what? We want those people to keep listening. There's a number of things that are going on Truth to You. Wonderful teachers.
Oh, let me just say something. Let me say something about that right now, Keith, because I tell you what, okay, I'm trying to choose my words.
Use your words. No, go ahead. Use your words carefully.
Carefully. But in light of those who would silence the information, in light of the malicious attacks from those who would silence the information, believe you me, my friend, I am, and this is for the listeners, I'm going to be going to extraordinary lengths, and they will be aware of this in the coming weeks, extraordinary lengths to make available information for your consideration. You don't have to agree with it, but make available information for the listeners' consideration, information they don't usually get to hear. And this is from a demand from many, many listeners that write into me asking sensitive questions. We're going to be answering some of those sensitive questions.
So you're going to be doing that?
From a point of view that those...
Oh, boy.
It's going to make those people, you know, really quite nervous and that have been attacking Nehemiah in such a way. And I'm going to be, oh boy, I'm going to be enjoying it. And if they're upset about it, they can try and stop me. And
Well, let me just say this. There's four words I would like to say to everybody, and I'm so glad Nehemiah's taking a break, because that means that I can take a break from this too. Fire in the hole! Here it comes, folks. Jono's out of control.
So, watch this space.
No, so let me say this. You know, one of the things I want to do today, and this just came to me. I wasn't planning it, but I'm looking on our time. We have time to do this story. I've got to tell a story about the last time that Nehemiah and I ministered together. Before I do that, I want to read a verse for Nehemiah. as I'm sure he was preparing it for this third Torah portion. I want to read this verse for him out of Isaiah chapter 40. And I love this. I really love this. It's actually a couple verses, Jonah. And in fact, why don't we do this just for fun? Would you be willing to read chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31 in the spirit of the Torah pearls?
This is what it says. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from Yehovah, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, Yehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on Yehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, we don't have to say anything else. I mean, that's it. But I want to just say a couple things to those that are listening. And my friend here said he wanted some healing and some renewal. And those, we've talked about Isaiah. Sometimes they call it Deutero-Isaiah. They believe that there's two Isaiahs. There's the one up until 39 or 38, and then there's the one from 39 forward. And the reason is that Isaiah moves in this prophetic mode. And what I love about what this particular passage reminds me of, he says sometimes you get into a place where you wonder, does God care? Is he there? I mean, I'm going through this and I'm going through that and I'm going through this. It seems as though you're hiding your face from me. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Yehovah is God from of old, creator of the earth from end to end. And here's what it says, Jonah. He never, say never.
Never.
Never, never grows faint or weary. His wisdom cannot be fathomed. He gives strength to the weary and vigor to the spent. And it says, youths may grow faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust, and then they use this word, shall renew their strength. And as I look at this word, Jono, this is a word that I don't know if they have these tools over in Australia, but we have what's called craftsman tools in the United States. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Sears and Roebuck, it used to be, or anywhere you'd go to buy a craftsman tool, that a craftsman tool has a lifetime guarantee. Mm. If the craftsman tool breaks, you get to bring it back to the store and you get a free exchange.
Right, so if it breaks 20 years later, you can take it back to the store.
I'm telling you, if your craftsman breaks, it's got a lifetime guarantee. They made it this way to say, it's so amazing, you've got a lifetime guarantee. And what this verse is saying is that those who trust or hope in Yehovah get to exchange their strength for his. It's like Nehemiah gets to go right now because he's in Charlotte right now, and soon he'll be getting to some other places that are going to be awesome for him where he gets to rest. And just let me be really clear to everybody. Nehemiah is not institutionalized. Nehemiah is not in some terrible situation like
that. He's not in rehab or anything.
No, he's not. No, Nehemiah is going to take care of Nehemiah, and there are people that have rallied to do that. Some of them from our very audience. So it's very exciting. But what he gets to do is he gets to say, hey, Yehovah, I trust in you. Can I turn in my broken craftsman tool? I need a new one. And the father says, here, Nehemiah, here's some new strength. Here's some new renewal. Here's some new healing. And then the picture is, Jono, normally you'd think it would be the other way. Normally it would start with walk, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you would say run. And then you would say fly. But here's what this does. Read it in your translation, verse 31.
Verse 31 says, but those who wait on Yehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Now, you'd think it would be opposite. Hmm. You start out walking, then you start running, and you run so fast you start flying. But actually, the way that it says it is, first you're going to fly. Yeah. That's for that first part, you know, in the beginning of your ministry, Nehemiah, and those that are listening, you know, when things are great and Jonah, when you got truth to you going and people are excited and you got 1,000 listeners and then you start running because, you know, you've gone from flying to you start running. Now you're in that second phase of your ministry and you're running. Energy's gone down a little bit, but then eventually you start walking. And in the picture is kind of like people that were going to be going back to the land. Mm-hmm. They would be so excited they're going back to the land from Babylon. They would soar. And then they'd move from soaring to running. And then they say, boy, it's a long way from here. So they're walking. And what's amazing about the last walking, that's the phase that I believe you're in. That's the phase that I'm in. And that's the phase that Nehemiah's in. We want to walk our lives out until the end. And we don't want to faint. We need energy not for the great times when we can soar like an eagle, or not for the times when the program's going so great we can run, but we need energy when it's just a long walk.
Mm.
And right now, Brother Jono, I know for you, certainly for me and for my brother Nehemiah, we're in that walk phase. And that phase, man, we don't know where the end is. We're just going to keep walking. Amen?
You know what I love about walking, Keith?
What's that?
You get to appreciate your surroundings in such greater detail.
Isn't it? Amen.
You know what I mean? So, and isn't this what you say all the time? You know, it's time to slow down. Let's look at this verse and slow down.
Let's slow down and take a second look. And you know what? Nehemiah's in the walking phase.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm definitely in the walking phase. So I wanted to share that for him and for those that are listening that you know, hopefully what people will do, and this is really powerful. This would actually be great. Let's encourage people to do this, Jono. Go to Torah Pearls. Listen to the portion from the Torah. Go and find out, maybe we can even put this up at Truth to You, what the actual Haf Torah section is, and then have people study it in the way that we did Torah Pearls. Get at least two versions. Be like the Bereans. Check the scriptures to make sure that what Jonah says is true. and literally take that Haf Torah section and let that be your follow-up study from listening to us on Torah Pearls.
This week is Lech Lecha. Uh-huh. And in the, let me just see, the Haftarah is Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 41, verse 16.
Yes.
People, please continue on. But as I mentioned before, it happens every year. And God willing, we may return to it. And
who knows?
But the Torah Pearls certainly are there. And we do encourage people to listen to those because Keith, I don't know how many times I've listened to them. I listen to them over and over again, and I get something out of them every single time I listen to it.
Well, let me say this. I'm excited that I'm actually going to get a chance to listen to them because
there you go.
Things have been so busy. I want to testify a little bit. You know, Nehemiah, he's tough when it goes to work, and so he actually set this tour up in Pennsylvania, and the way it was originally set up was speaking 15 times in 15 days. I asked him for one day off. He went through the roof. he eventually agreed, but we're in Pennsylvania right now, and so I spoke Saturday night. He really we knew then it was going to be time for him to get a rest, but he said, Keith, I want to keep my energy for Sunday, so would you go speak Saturday night? I spoke Saturday night, I spoke Monday night, I spoke today at noon, I speak tomorrow Thursday, and then I go to New Jersey for the weekend, see my son. The event that we had there, which was at a synagogue actually in New Jersey, we need to cancel that, and then I'll be going to Minneapolis to speak up in Minnesota, and then I'll be coming back, by God's grace, finishing out in Atlanta, Alabama. So I'm going to keep doing what he and I agreed to do, and that's where I need this passage, to soar, to run, and to walk. So I would ask for people to pray for me in that. I'm going to continue to go. It's almost like we're in battle, and our Brigadier General—
Almost like? It's almost like?
It's battle. And we needed him to take a little bit of break. So I'm out here. I'm going to keep plugging until he tells me different. But I wanted to bring this story that happened yesterday. I really think, and Jono, I want you to imagine you're with me, and I want you to banter with me about this, okay?
Mm.
Just be Jono. And I want people to listen and banter with me about this. So Nehemiah has this awesome book, Shattering the Conspiracy of Silence.
The Hebrew Power of the Priestly Blessing Unleashed.
It is an amazing book. And what we did yesterday is we set up an event at a Mennonite church in Reading, PA. And so the pastor sent us a note ahead of time, and he said, hey, listen, tomorrow there's a Spanish-speaking audience that will be in the church, so I'm going to be translating for us. And to be honest, Nehemiah and I, we've done Spanish translation, but you like to know ahead of time, and it was kind of a last minute deal. So we adjusted. We went into the church. Amazing, beautiful. Like, I don't really get impressed with buildings, but this building is amazing. The windows, I mean, I could do a whole message just on what we saw with the windows that were in this church. And I know there are people that say, well, you're talking about the church, and you know, some people don't like the church. All I can say is both Nehemiah and I were really impressed with this building. So Nehemiah gets up in the morning. I get up in the morning. We do our thing. The guy's translating for us, and it was a little tough, you know, because we had not been together before. But in the afternoon, Nehemiah gets up to speak the priestly benediction, and I got to take my time to tell this story, Jono.
Mm.
There's a translator who's translating to a Spanish community, Spanish-speaking community. Nehemiah goes up, and he says in Hebrew, Yivarechecha Yehovah vayishmarecha, the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, I'm sitting out in the audience, not really listening. You know, I'm waiting for my turn, Jono. So I'm like, Nehemiah speaking first. I look up a little bit, and something really weird happens. Nehemiah gives it in Hebrew, gives it in English, and then the pastor who's translating goes to the Hispanic-speaking community, and I noticed something. When Nehemiah would say the name, I would hear faintly the pastor say, Señor.
Really?
No, I'm telling you, this is golden. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, so then eventually in the middle of the presentation, Nehemiah says some people call him Yahweh and some people call him Yehovah. And the translator stops the translation, looks at Nehemiah and says, I can't say either of those. I'm forbidden from that by my own convictions. I can't speak the name of God.
Hang on. We're in a Mennonite church, right?
Listen, I'm telling you what happened.
We're in a Mennonite church.
We're in a Mennonite church. The Jewish man, the scholar from Israel, has come into the church to teach the people the priestly benediction. The pastor says, my people don't speak English, so I need to translate for them.
Uh-huh.
Somebody say gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
He's the gatekeeper. He's the translator. Nehemiah says, some people call him Yahweh, others Yehovah, and he stops the translation and says to Nehemiah, I won't be able to say either of those. My convictions will not allow me to translate that for you.
Can I just comment here, Keith? Can I interrupt you for a second? And I don't mean to, once again, I have to choose my words carefully, but is he not restricting the information? Is he not deciding to restrict the information that is given to him?
No. It's worse than that. He's actually saying, I'm going to translate the information for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You tell me what you want said, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to translate it. That's what he's saying, correct?
That's what he said.
Okay. Then the information comes out, and he says, not only does he – initially, he just mistranslates it. So when Nehemiah says it, he simply says, Señor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting out in the audience, and I'm saying to myself, okay, Nehemiah is going to knock this out of the park. He's going to stop the guy, and he's going to read him the riot act. And Nehemiah says, well, that's going to be much more difficult. So Nehemiah says, it's going to be more difficult if I'm teaching this, but you won't translate it. And the guy looks at Nehemiah like, well, get used to it. Nehemiah gets through his deal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting in the church, and I'm getting this picture. My Jewish friend, who's a scholar, a Hebrew scholar, has come to teach the people the power of the priestly blessing. And the conspiracy of silence takes place right there on the stage because the pastor says, I ain't translating the name of God because my convictions won't allow it. The Spanish-speaking community has no idea what's going on because he's arguing with Nehemiah in English.
So they don't know, right? They're sitting there and
waiting for the translation. The guy was amazing. He was a wonderful guy. The story gets better. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, you know, this might be my last time talking with Nehemiah. There's no way I'm going to let this continue. They let me speak. I'm supposed to speak about something else. Instead, I open up the Bible to Numbers chapter 6. You can do that right now. The listening audience can do that. I take Nehemiah's powerful information that he's done, and I said to the pastor, would you please translate directly from the Bible? He says, yes. So I say what I say, and he says to the Spanish people, blah, 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 blah. I'm not trying to say blah, blah, blah. I just don't know Spanish. Then I say, Yehovah bless you and keep you. And he says, Señor bless you and keep you. I said, wait, pastor, I just said Yehovah, and you said what? Señor. Now, I asked you to translate it directly from what I'm saying. Your job is to translate what I say. Mm-hmm. He says, I can't do that. Why? My tradition won't allow it. I said, okay, we got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lady sitting in the front row who every once in a while earlier was reading the Bible for Nehemiah. She doesn't speak English. She only reads the Spanish Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ma'am, would you do me a favor? Would you come here? We need to get around the translator here for a second. The lady comes forward. I give her a microphone. I say, would you please translate in Spanish these words? Yehovah bless you and protect you. And she says, in Spanish, sa-sa-sa, Yehovah, blah, 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 blah. She's reading it from the Spanish Bible. Jono, in the Spanish Bible, it translates Señor or Lord as Yehovah.
Wow.
I can't get an amen on that?
Wait a minute.
Listen to me. Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
No. Just, okay, let me get this straight. If I'm to understand you correctly, Keith, you said the pastor. This is the pastor of the Mennonite church, right?
He's translating. He's the pastor, and he's translating to the Spanish community. He won't say the name.
But there's a lady in the...
There's a lady in the front row. She might have been an angel. She's in the front row. She's clearly reading a Spanish-speaking Bible because she doesn't speak English. Mm-hmm. I said, ma'am, I took a chance. Would you please come up here? We're going to get around the pastor right now. Would you please read what I'm saying right now? And he tells her in Spanish, please read what he's saying right now. I say, Jehovah bless you and keep you. And she says in Spanish, the first word, and then she says, Jehovah. I said, where did you get that from? He asked her in Spanish, where did you get from? She says, it's exactly in the text. She reads the text in Spanish, and the Spanish Bible says Jehovah.
The Spanish Bible says Jehovah.
It doesn't say Señor. It doesn't say Nombre. It doesn't say Adonai. It says exactly what Nehemiah was teaching the people.
The Spanish Bible that she was holding, the Spanish translation that she was holding has
Jehovah.
What happened?
We went through the entire priestly benediction, and she told the Spanish people exactly what it says. And guess what they did?
What?
They started celebrating.
Amen.
And what I told the people, I said, and I told the pastor, I said, sometimes if the pastor gets in the way of Scripture, sometimes we got to go past the pastor.
That's right.
And listen, she brought up the Word of God, spoke the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. If that was the last time I speak with Nehemiah, and I don't believe it will be, but what an honor to have that picture take place in a church. This man comes with the information. The pastor says, my tradition won't allow for it to get there. And that goes back to what we said earlier. There are some people that are just like that pastor that are saying, under no circumstance can I translate what Nehemiah is saying, because the people might get it and realize it goes beyond my tradition. And last night, yesterday in this church, we broke that wall down.
Amen. And so, look, I'm just curious, Keith, can I ask, did he freely allow her to read from her Spanish Bible?
He looked at her and he said, you go ahead and read it. He said, okay. I can't say it, but you say it. And guess what he told me after? He said this, you know, he said, Keith, I've really been convicted. I come from a situation. He's a pastor in a Mennonite church, but he grew up in an Orthodox Jewish environment. His father or grandfather actually brought him to the synagogue and taught him not to speak the name, which is the exact picture I addressed it in his Hollywood Name Revealed again, where Christians have taken the tradition of our Jewish brothers and sisters, rabbinic authority, and brought it into the church. And yesterday, on a Sunday, I watched this in living color.
Wow. Oh,
this
my
woman,
word.
I took a picture with her, Jonah. I'm going to send you the picture. This woman had her Bible, and she didn't say Yehovah. She would say, Azazah, Yehovah. And she would sing it. She would shout. And so Nehemiah was there. I was there. I want to tell Nehemiah how much I appreciate the fact that he's been able to hang on this long for no other reason so that we could see that picture. Because that's what he's doing, Jonah. He's bringing the power into the church, and the gatekeepers are saying, no!
And they are. The gatekeepers are. And I don't want to paint this guy in a bad light. I think it's wonderful that he was convicted about it, and I pray that he really gives it some serious consideration and comes around. But may that lady who read from the Spanish Bible, may she be blessed, and may the congregation be blessed now at knowing the name of our Creator.
Yes.
And that's a spectacular thing. But doesn't it really paint the picture beautifully of how we can be sitting there being fed information from people who are censoring.
Are censoring, exactly. And here's what I said yesterday as I was sitting there. I'm thinking, I'm sitting here with Nehemiah. I've got two choices. I could be politically correct, stay with what I have on my little presentation, and go up there and act like this is not going to happen. Or I could stand up and confront the situation. Now, for my sisters and brothers that are listening, as it pertains to this guy, I'm going to confront the information. You know, Nehemiah is going to take a break so he can't put that collar on me anymore and say, Keith, it's too controversial. I'm going to stay on the road. I'm going to continue to go out and preach and confront the information as I am able, because I believe there are so many people like that Hispanic community who really want God's truth. But because of sometimes the filter, they don't get it. But if they get to the Word of God, and I'm not trying to be overly spiritual, folks, but when we get to the Word of God in language, history, and context, and why does the Spanish Bible translated as Yahovah, because they don't, in that situation, they didn't say Je, they say Yeh. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it would be like Jehovah, but the way they do it and the way that they say it, the accents even fall the way it is in Hebrew. So it's not Jehovah, it's Yahovah. I mean, it was so beautiful. This woman did it so beautifully, and it was such a picture. And I hope it encourages Nehemiah to let them know that our Father in heaven is going to make a way for the power of the priestly blessing to be unleashed in the church, in communities, Messianic, Jewish, Reform, everywhere we can imagine. The name Yahovah will be known from north, south, east.
Amen. Amen. And so for those who don't have the book yet, NehemiahsWall.com is the website, NehemiahsWall.com. You can go there, you can order the book, and Keith, it just reminds me of the cover of the book. There is the man with his finger to his mouth going, shh.
Exactly.
And the Mennonite pastor was that man.
Yeah. And he, like he said, he confessed. He said, listen, this is tradition. I don't know what to do. I need to get more information. And so one of the things that we've done that's been very powerful on tour is to provide people. And I want folks to know this. This is so cool, Jono. Nehemiah and I came about this as we were in Oregon and we were preparing to go on tour. We have what's called an ambassador's pack. And the ambassador's pack, we realized, is the last 10 years of our ministry that's actually been put together in 12 different really powerful things. And I want to take a minute to tell people what they are.
Please.
And I do that.
Please.
So the Hebrew Yeshua versus the Greek Jesus in DVD and book form, which was Nehemiah's first book, powerful, amazing. From there, A Prayer to Our Father, which is now translated into Chinese. We learned that prayer, which people have been able to actually around the world have learned about this prayer. And then from there, His Hallowed Name Revealed again, which takes the second part of the prayer, Yitkadesh Shimcha, Your name be sanctified, and that's where I do, for the person who knows no Hebrew, to bring them from the Aleph all the way until the Tav, understand Yahovah's name in context, and then, of course, the CD in the back. Then from there, we have the Open Door series, which is so powerful because it's 18 and a half hours of teaching, Nehemiah and myself, on video, 1, 2, and 3. Then comes this wonderful book, Shattering the Conspiracy of Silence. We also have the television series, His Hollywood Name. We've got this poster on Hebrew Matthew. We've got Andrew Hodkinson's CD, which is powerful, where he takes the name and places it
in the Psalms.
And then the last thing, which is so hot, is the clock crisis. We took the clock crisis, which is what I've been talking about with Time Will Tell, and included it, and we did this huge discount. And people were actually getting this, and unfortunately, as I mentioned, Nehemiah's left the tour, but I'm going to keep making it available as I go on tour. 800 pages of book reading, 30 hours of DVD of Nehemiah and myself teaching the information for people to get it for themselves. So when I'm on tour, we can do that. You can go to Nehemiah's Wall, His Hollywood Name. We're going to make all this stuff available. I'm going to continue to make it available, Jono, because what Nehemiah has done for me is he's given me the key to the access to the information, and together we've taken that information and giving it to people so that they can learn it for themselves, like that lady that doesn't have to wait for the pastor to say, okay, it's okay for you to say it. She can read it for herself. And that's why I'm so motivated and why I appreciate everything that Nehemiah has done and prayerfully believe that he will get the three things he's asked for, which is renewal and discernment.
Oh, of course. Amen. You know, of course
and,
he will.
And healing.
Amen. Let me just go into a little bit more detail, Keith, because you missed a couple of things. Come on. There's also the DVD of the Hebrew Yeshua versus the Greek Jesus.
Okay.
There's also a DVD of A Prayer to Our Father, too. I mean, come on.
The Open Door series. That is actually the first one of the Open Door series.
Oh, there it is. So you get that in there.
Those connected, yes.
And there is, just to remind listeners, timewilltell.tv is the website. Timewilltell.tv. Can I just ask you a question about that? Because my children have been asking me, when is the next one going to be available?
Well, can I just say something? I want people to do me a favor and sincerely, I just released something that happened in Pennsylvania. It's called the Grandfather Clock Miracle.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can I just say something just so I want to be clear? It actually happened in real time. It was not a setup. It actually happened with my little camera. So here's the good thing about Time Will Tell is that we're in the mix right now in the next few weeks where we're trying to raise the resources because we're going to be really aggressive. The goal is to have this whole series done and ready by January to go to television. So we're going to finish the whole series in the next 2 months.
Really?
We're raising the resources on tour. I make it available. We're doing everything we can. Go to timewilltell.tv and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And Nehemia, I want to say also, has been a huge supporter of this. He did the Sartaba mountain deal with me. And after that, he said to me in the car as he's leaving, he said, well, Keith, you go out there and do what you can to get that information going. He's been a huge supporter of everything that we've done. But the Time Will Tell thing for me right now is really high on the list. And I'm just going to keep and let your kids know as soon as that one is done, and that one's actually almost done. They're all being done kind of simultaneously. But as soon as I finish writing the last episode and we've got the full story told, at the least I'm going to send to Jonah and Hani's kids the next episode. Everyone else go to timewilltell.tv and help us out so we can get this stuff done.
Timewilltell.tv is where you can go to support what Keith is doing, and believe you me, and particularly if you've got kids. My kids love it. Get the series. Support the series.
Wait
because
till they
it's
see Cookie Monster.
Then the Cookie Monster is going to be in it. Now listen, yeah. Can I just one last thing, Keith?
Yes.
Before we disappear. Being the athlete that you are,
yes,
and the background that you've had in professional football, mm-hmm. right? What is it? Gridiron over there? What is it called?
Well, I didn't play professional football. I was just around it all the time.
You were around it all the time. Okay, you were the chaplain yeah. for.
I was the chaplain for it. Okay. Yep.
Okay. But listen, I mean, you must have observed over the years in your time in football involved with the mm-hmm. with the sport, mm-hmm. no doubt, athletes, players. Who would be injured on the field mm-hmm. and have to be taken off. And I don't doubt that you have seen players say, I want to get back out there. Let me get back out there, coach. I'd want to keep going. And the coach is looking at him going, I know you want to. I know you can, but you really shouldn't. Because if you want to be in good shape for the next game and the next game and the next game, you need to sit on the sidelines and I'm going to have have some specialists look at you and decide whether or not it's wise for you to go out.
Yes, well, let me tell you something funny. I was actually in a situation in the past where I got to help keep athletes from getting on the field. We used to hide their helmet. This is a true statement. We would hide their helmet. So he'd look for his helmet. You know, he'd have a concussion or something, and he'd be looking for his helmet, and we'd pass the helmet around, and he couldn't get his helmet, so he couldn't go back on the field. And so it's funny, but the point is that, you know, sometimes for the great athletes, for the great people that have it in their mind to want to do what they can do, you almost have to force them to not allow them to go and do what they really want to do for their own good. And I think mm-hmm. what's awesome about Nehemia is he doesn't need anybody to hide his helmet. He's determined to take the helmet off and to sit down. And I just think it's such a healthy thing that he's done, and we're such in support of it. I want people to know there have been some questions about China. I want them to be in prayer about that for us. We don't want to put that pressure on Nehemia, but certainly as that information is developed and as he gets to a place where he says, you know what, I'm feeling great, boy, we're going to go over there and knock it out of the park. But if for some reason he's not able to do that, then I have no doubt that Yehovah's hand is in that. So please be in prayer for him. Please be in prayer for Jono and the ministry of Truth to You and Hani, and also be in prayer for me. I'm still on the road. I really do miss the fact that I was out here with Nehemia and need prayer and support for that. So those that can, please communicate with us, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening. They can sign up for the newsletter at Time Will Tell. That will keep you updated with what's going on. Nehemiahswall.com. I want folks to do something really radical. Go order so many books. He's got to, you know, Deb's got to go get more. And let's bless Nehemia by going to his website and supporting him without him having to go out and beat the doors down.
Amen. Amen. Nehemiahswall.com. All right, my friend. Listen, thank you. Thank you for giving us the update and letting us know what's going on.
Yeah. And, I won't let without saying our special prayer, though. I won't let us leave without saying our special prayer.
Please do.
Nehemia ended his conversation, his presentation with Psalm 119, and where he said, he prayed, he says, open my eyes that we might see the wonderful and hidden things in your Torah. And so, Yehovah, we thank you for the example that Nehemia gave us of being able to go to this verse and the way that he's actually walked that out and asked for his eyes to be open. And now you've opened his eyes to see the wonderful hidden things of your love for him in your Torah, where he can rest and take care of himself. We want to bless him. We do also take this prayer. In fact, you know what I'd like to do, Father, even now, to if I can, in my little Methodist tradition, go to the Hebrew Bible and also speak this priestly benediction to my friend Nehemia and for everyone that's here. So let's pray right now. Numbers 6:24-27. Yivarechecha Yehovah vayishmarecha. Ye'er Yehovah panav elecha vayichunecha. Yisa Yehovah panav elecha vayisim lecha shalom. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah shine his face toward you and be gracious toward you. Yehovah lift up his face toward you and set upon you peace. And thus shall you set my name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. Yehovah, bless your son, Nehemiah Gordon, with the very blessing that he's attempted to teach the world.
Mm.
Bless him and keep him. Shine your face upon him. Lift up your face towards him and give to him peace. Yehovah, we give you praise, glory, and honor for him. And we look forward for the testimony that he will have for the nations that you did just that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the update. And once again, just for the listeners, remember you can go to truth2u.org, truth2u.org, click on Torah Pills, and there they all are. Continue to follow them week by week, and you can listen to them there. They're available for free download. And we will, believe me, dear listeners, we'll be getting back together. Nehemiah will be picking up his helmet and substation, getting back out on the field.
Amen. Just not early.
But may he have time. And just, I know, Nehemiah, you're listening to this. I want a postcard. Okay.
Amen.
So until then, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart for the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.